Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, I'm excited about sharing this story with you this morning, this message with you. And it's the beginning of a series on freedom and boundaries. And it may seem a little unusual to have those two words in the same title. They almost sounds like they could contradict one another. Freedom or boundaries? What are we going to talk about here? But actually, they are essential to go together, because if we don't have boundaries, we will lose our freedoms in our own personal life, in our thinking life, in every kind of area. And I guess one of my motivations for going into the subject and wanting to address it is because becoming aware of quite a number of people in the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years, at an increasing level, who have found themselves in trouble because they haven't had personal boundaries in their life inside these things: phones and computers and screens at home. Inside there is a whole world that you can get involved in without anybody else knowing about it. And you can think you're getting away with things, but eventually it comes back on you. It starts to decay us on the inside, and we can get addicted to it. I read recently that 15% of divorces in the USA are because the husband won't stop playing video games. I said, that just sounds ridiculous. I did a little more research and found that they were playing games up to 4 hours a night, and basically the wife gave an ultimatum, said, it's me or the video games, and he said, I'll take the games, thanks. And because an addiction, a greater level of entertainment, staying up all night, wrecking their business life, wrecking their day life, that's called enslavement. The Bible calls it enslavement. And the Bible calls it enslavement to sin. But we like to think of it as, oh, it's just, sort of an addiction to a thing. That sometimes we have run to certain things for escape. It's like a fortress. It's like a place where I can get away to. And yet, if the escape is a wrong escape, if it's a false thing, if it's not the Lord, it's going to be some other thing. If we, like you, every movie you see when there's a big blow up in a marriage, or some guy has a rough day at the office, he reaches for the bottle of scotch, right? Or else he just opens up a whole pile of pills and puts them down, or he goes to those places for refuge, for escape. I don't want to feel what I'm feeling, so I'm going to get myself feeling something else. But if we do that too often, it's going to become enslavement. That thing will grab us, and when we don't want to do it, we find ourselves doing it. And sometimes we have found ourselves in a cycle where we go and do a thing and we go, oh man, I'm so guilty, I feel bad. We repent from it, try and get away from it, but by about lunchtime, you know, we're kind of feeling okay again, and then by the night, we're back in the same cycle. And that's called addiction. But the Bible calls it enslavement. And this is interesting and important to note the difference. Because when Jesus says, I'm going to set you free, he is not just talking about freedom from dysfunction, disorders, and sicknesses. He's talking about freedom from sin, which is at the core of the problem. And sometimes the things that we find ourselves enslaved to in themselves may not be sinful, but it can be a sin because of our enslavement to it. I mean, the Lord says, worship me with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. So we're in church going, thank you, Jesus. You know, what is it? Lord, hi. Praise the Lord. Yeah, okay. And we sit down now. And we've given him like not even a quarter of our heart. He says, worship me with all your heart. The power of freedom rests in one word, the ability to say no. So when that device is calling at you saying, hey, there's something important going on. There's an email. Does it feel the buzz? Oh, ding, ding, ding. Click, pop, dang. You know, look at me. It's going like that because it's trying to distract you from a wholehearted worship. When you're 80 years old and you're moving towards your final years, you're not going to say, oh, man, so wish I'd done more emails in church. So wish I'd gotten into the more texting and, you know, why didn't I give myself to texting more? It amounts to nothing. It's vapor in the wind. It's dust. Why even bother going to church if I'm going to sit there and do stuff all day? Say no to it. Learn how to say no to the thing called device. Because it's got a grip on a lot of people. But it's not just the grip of the thing. It's the grip of the content. Porn, gambling, hate sites all dominate the internet. They're way above how to do gardening with Joe, yoga lessons with Beth. Way above all of those areas. And the thing is, we need to know and recognize that a modern day enslavement is pretty similar to even ones in antiquity. Let me take you to a scripture in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is interesting to me that it says make you free, not just set you free. Because setting you free might be for a day, but making you free is permanent. That for the rest of your life, you are a free person. Not by legislation, although most of us would think of the abolishment of slavery as being the greatest freedoms that have happened, and they are. They truly are. It's an awesome thing. I've read some of the emancipation declarations of various countries. I read yesterday the one in Brazil, where once slavery was abolished in America and England, many countries took note and it started a roll all around the world. The one in Brazil said, we announced today, the immediate, complete, unconditional abolishment of slavery. I loved it. Immediate. Has to happen today. And at the end of the service, I'm going to believe God that anybody in here who's feeling they're chained up by something, they got an addiction they can't break, a cycle in their life that is miserably defeating you, that Jesus can actually break that thing, because that's what he came to do. I've come to set the captives free. It says the immediate, unconditional. It's not whether you've been a good person or not that Jesus says, I'll do something for you. It's because of his intentional love for you and his grace. He says, I'll do it because I'm here for you. That's the reason I came. And the fact that it's immediate means that we don't taper off on sins. I mean, you don't sort of taper off on adultery. It finishes. You don't taper off on lying. It's finished. And so the thing is that we need to get set free from these things, and then we need to be made free from them. So we got to understand that Jesus came to actually change us. There's a lot of teaching on grace in the world today, and you could be mistaken into thinking, wow, you know, that means like I just get saved, I have Jesus in my life, I go to church, I live like however I like, and God's okay with me. That's actually not the way the Bible puts it. And the fact is, when you change from doing bad stuff to doing good stuff. And because you do good stuff will happen to you. If you do bad stuff, bad things happen to you. God doesn't need to judge us hardly at all. Our own activities will do that for us. If you tell a lie to a person and they catch you out, they're not going to trust you. You say, oh God, you know, why'd you judge me? He didn't judge. It's just, that's the normal consequence. There are consequences to all of our actions. And Jesus came, he wanted to change the consequences. So he said, let's change the actions. And I'm going to transform you so that you actually want to be a good person. Like when you're not like that, when you're not born again, anybody doing something bad, you're, yeah, look at that, yeah, mate, you know. And you're all rejoicing in the weird stuff, the bad stuff. And you're mocking those people, oh, they're good, yeah, you know. And you think they're a bunch of nerds, twerps, people who... But Jesus says he wants to change you so that you actually have a heart to be a quality person in life, to actually have value in life, to be good. Einstein said, aspire not to be a person of success, but a person of value. And you'll find that if you are a valuable person, that will make you successful. But even if you're not successful, you'll have the deep contentment of knowing that you've lived a meaningful life, contributing into the good of other people. And God has come into this world to actually transform our lives and set us free from those things that would destroy us on the inside. So he says, if you continue in my word, Jesus is the Word. So if you continue in the Word, he says, you'll know, you're my disciples indeed, you'll know the truth. What, remember his words, John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth. So if you're continuing in the Word of God, you'll know truth, and that's knowing Jesus. When you know Jesus, you've known the truth, and he will not just set you free, he will make you free. Remember the prodigal son, he leaves the father's house. Before he goes, he says, give me my due, give me what is owed me. When he finally turns around, repents, and turns back, he comes back to his father, he says, make me one of your servants. There's a big difference between coming to God and say, give me, and saying, make me. And I would say today, if you could include in your prayers, not just the give me my raise and pay, give me a new house, give me this. If you may make me a person who is going to please you, make me a person who's got a positive, life-giving influence on planet Earth. So in John 8:36, just talking about this freedom, therefore, if the Son makes you free. Now, there's a scripture before that I want you to take me to. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So this is fascinating to me. This is a person, a slave is a person who can't say no. If you're owned by another person or another force, when that thing says do this, you got no choice. You do it. You can't say no. So freedom is the power to be able to say no. When you're set free from that thing, you can say no to it. That's what freedom is. Freedom is the ability to say no to some good things even. There can be good things. I every week on my desk are people asking for money, people, resources, get involved in this, get involved in that. Can you come and be part of this? I have to say no. I've got to manage my resources. They're good things, not one bad thing amongst them. But I can't have a heart for this and a heart for that and a heart for 1,000 things. I got to manage my emotional, mental resources. I can't be held blackmailed by my own Christianity to never be able to say no. So I got to be able to say no. I can't do that. And it's not always the popular decision. Some people criticize you for, they never get involved in this, you know. So I just got to live with that and say, no, I've been doing it for 47 years, so I'm still on my feet. It must be something working like that that's keeping it together. I don't want to wear myself out doing good because then it's just become bad. So on the other hand, though, there are some very bad things that also are equally as appealing and trying to draw on natural appetites, flesh, that it's itchy to do things. All of us have got that. Some people think they've got it more than others. No, you haven't. You're just the same as all the rest of us. It's all the same flesh. It itches to do stuff. The flesh loves to hate. Loves to get angry, loves sort of pleasures that are illicit, wrong. Loves that rebellious thing, want to go that way. The capacity to say no is an empowerment from the Holy Spirit. But you got to be able to say that and put up that boundary, and you can do it. Because that is not just getting set free, that is maintaining freedom. That is where boundaries come into your life. If you don't have those boundaries, when you go into that internet, there are areas in that where there's little pictures come up on the side of your YouTube channel. Come over here, have a chat with me. And then there are ads over here. Yeah, try this out, you know. Come to this room. Yeah, like all these things. You got to have a very strong personal government where you're saying, these are my boundaries. I don't go out there. No, not interested. And even if we have external guards on that, even if we have external prohibitors, I know there are guys who have come out of porn addictions and they've got friends and, you know, they if they go on a wrong site, then it pops up on the other guy's screen. But I know that these guys can also find ways around that and get on another computer or log in as another person. It's not that hard. At the end of it, you have to have inside of you personal accountability and boundaries that is not where you're going to go. You're going to live a right life. So that you are actually going to live uprightly and good things will happen to you. Blessings fall on the righteous. Blessings fall on people who are going to actually put themselves on a pathway and say, I'm going to live a righteous life. I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to let myself get corrupted and be in decay in those areas. I'm going to get set free and I'm going to stay free in Jesus' name right here today by the power of the Holy Spirit. So going back to that passage, I know this is a great message for a Sunday morning. I mean, this is like having chili on your breakfast, right? Oh man, this is a hot sermon, Pastor, yeah. Keep your toes out. If I'm treading on them, it's good for you, amen. Take sides with God against yourself and smile, saying, he's got me, he's nailing me today. This is good, thank you, Pastor, amen. Get strong on the inside. You're not gonna hear this from your newspaper this week. You're gonna hear it in church where people are actually, where you're getting inspired to do something greater. A slave does not abide in the house forever. This is a concern for me as a pastor, because I see people who are enslaved and they don't stick around. They're in church, they're in the house, but they don't stay forever because the thing gets them and pulls them out of the house. And whatever it is, it just, but a son, it says, remains forever. That's a person who is not enslaved. They have freedom of will. God is the most free person in the entire universe. He does whatever he wills. For us to be in that position, and that's the gift, the greatest gift that he wanted to give to us, for us to have the power to do what we will to do. And sometimes it's been in the negative, but he wanted it obviously to be in the positive. But when you can't do what you want to do because you're chained and you're bound, when you want to think positively, but you can't, it just goes into depression. When you want to love people, but you can't because you just go to hate. When you want to stay away from doing that thing, but you can't because the bottle's got you, or whatever it is. Here today, Jesus can set you free. But he needs you also to make some boundaries in your life so that you stay free. And that can happen so that you live a life where you are blessed and you're living in that kind of freedom. All right, I want to take you through a long passage of scripture in Galatians 5, verse 13 to 23. It's out of the Message Bible, and it says it about as well as anybody could. After all, it's scripture. Here it is. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just pause there for a second. A sinful self-interest. If we were to just go through your Instagram feed or your photo album, how many selfies are in there? How obsessed are we with self? I heard a great message from Beth Moore this last week about a last day problem where we say, I am, and there is no one beside me. That's the root of all selfishness right there. And if we are living in that, we are in for all sorts of headaches and difficulties. And so here, just think about that. Try to go through one day without referring to yourself in any conversation. That'd be a great challenge for you to pick up and say, I'm going to go through one day when I hear somebody telling me a story. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, no, mine was bigger. And you had that happen. Oh, my man, I got bitten by a shark. I mean, you're like, yeah, right. You know, all of that. It doesn't all have to be about you. Just sit and listen and say, wow, that's amazing. Incredible. You're such a great person. You just push it away from landing on you all the time. Okay, we're back in this amazing scripture. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. Well, I think that's enough, right? Golly, we just about covered everybody. Sorry about that. Up on the stage anyway. Now I'll start with you guys. Okay, this isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way the fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. What? How about that for a passage? And I believe that if we get a pursuit on the inside of our hearts to develop into a free person who has these capacities to build walls where we need to have them and to look after our lives properly, we'll find ourselves being able to impart so much life in other people's worlds. Come with me to this passage, Proverbs 25, 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. This is saying that you and I are like cities. Inside the city is places of worship, temple, spiritual life. Inside our city is learning, educational centers, healing centers, rubbish collections, sewage systems, irrigation systems, water systems. There are communication systems. There's pathways, roadways. When our walls break down, we are vulnerable to the enemy who has one desire in mind, and that is to destroy you. The devil does not want to do anything else but completely and utterly annihilate your world, to destroy you. And if there are walls of our own will there, we are impenetrable. But once those walls come crashing down, our whole city becomes vulnerable. No longer do we find it easy to get rid of the rubbish. It piles up and starts to decay and rot on the inside. We can't communicate properly within ourselves and with others. We can't learn new things. We find ourselves not healing that well. Because of our vulnerability, our whole city starts to break down. Our worship centers aren't really working so well on the inside. When Nehemiah was sent by God back to Jerusalem from 70 years in Babylon to rebuild that city, the first thing he did was rebuild the walls. He didn't rebuild his prayer life. He didn't rebuild the city, the community life. He rebuilt walls. And he did it in 52 days. He said, let's get this up quickly. Let's get these barriers, these boundaries that are going to keep the bad out and the good in, that are give me the ability to say, no, I don't do that. To have personal government over my life where I live by policies that were preset. I don't live in the moment so that I'm saying, well, what'll I do about this? You know, she's asked me to go to the motel with her. You don't go. You know, you're married. Well, what am I going to do here? Will I tell the truth? Well, you know, man, if I tell the truth, I'm going to lose so much money on this deal. You just tell the truth, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, because that's your commitment. Your truth isn't for sale. Your integrity is not for sale. You are who you are in your word, your promises. And these are important freedoms for you to hang on to. If we think that, oh, grace means I can do whatever I like and get away with it, sure, God is gracious. He's cool, but it's not going to help your life. You will live with consequences. And so God is saying, I don't want you to have those things happen in your life. I want you to grow up. When you first came to me, I set you free from so many things. But as you start walking with Christ, you can drift. You can drift back into old habits and things. He says, today I want you to get out of that, to get on solid ground, and we'll forget all the past. We'll wipe it out. But if you can make this journey to freedom, You know, and let me show you how that goes. The first thing that happens is you get conviction. This is the journey to freedom. The first thing that happens is conviction. Conviction, you know, is from God because it's always got hope in it. It's not condemning. He doesn't say, you rotten thing, you terrible person. He doesn't talk like that. He doesn't say, there's no hope for you. How are you ever going to? That's not God. That's the other guy trying to sound like God, trying to sound religious. God says, hey, we can get through this. We can get you out of this. That's why I came. I came to break the snare of the fowler. I don't want to just set you free. I'm going to break the trap that keeps getting you. And so the first thing is a conviction. The next thing is confession. These are awkward emotional moments because it's hard for our pride and it's difficult for our fears to allow us to expose that. But as long as we're treating it like a disorder that needs healing, it ain't going to happen. A sin is a sin, and it's got to come into the light. As soon as it's in the light, it loses its power. As soon as you are prepared to acknowledge a thing like that, and probably every day of our life, every day of my life, I do this. I turn away from a thing that I did yesterday, a thing, a thought, a word, a thing I said. It's a doorway into the day. I don't stay there. I don't go, oh yeah, I'm, you know. I get into faith, but I got to go through that moment where I come into the light and then the blood of Jesus cleanses me, washes me from all sin. So I'm no longer condemned. I'm no longer going to be this walking meat corpse that's attracting flies and demons everywhere. It's gone. You see, and there's no foothold for the devil to get a hold of me because Jesus is able to cleanse us. If we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. It's got to be part of your armory. And then you make the decision to forsake. He who confesses and forsakes shall find mercy. You got to say, I'm moving away from this thing. Make the decision to move away. You might say, I've done it 100 times. Do it again. Keep fighting the fight. You don't win a fight in one go. You don't win a war in one battle. It might be 100 battles, might be 200 battles, might be 5 years of battling, but eventually, friend, you're gonna win. You're gonna win. You're gonna get over that thing. You're gonna break its power. Never quit. We all read the little things. Never give up, never give up. So many Instagrams and Facebook things. Oh, you know, never give up, never give up. And person who never failed, never did anything. And it's that great to read until it's actually happening in your life. And then you think, never give up, my God, why do I want to? No, don't give up, be faithful. Because every time you do that, you're developing that muscle a little stronger. Maybe God's allowed a situation to remain there so that you do develop a whole bunch of resistance muscles against all kinds of things that are beyond just this one situation that you're actually facing. So when you forsake it, then there is cleansing. And that brings liberty. You're set free. That's the road to freedom. Here today, before we finish, I'd like the band to come. I want you to just to do two things in the final moments of this service in the next 10 minutes. I like to think that, number one, we can see people set free from things that you have found you're unable to escape from. At the end of the service, we're going to invite people to come to the front and there'll be ministry for prayer here. But I'm going to pray for you right now that would happen. Also, I would like you to make a fresh commitment to some boundaries. It's been a really quiet service this morning. I understand that. I understand why. You know, it's not like the pastor's in there. It's like the doctor with his surgeon. His scalpel is in the house. But that's good. Because I see people facing difficulties, and I'd be negligent if I just ignored it and said, oh, you know. Go ahead. It used to be something like a throwaway comment about how these things are in our lives and computers and people, but it's become a serious matter. It really is fragmenting people's personal integrity and their relationships. And I like to know that you are not going to be saying, this thing is Lord of my life. When it buzzes and clicks, I respond. You don't have to. You don't have to talk to it. you're free. You can do what you want to do. You can leave it right there and check it out in 5 hours' time. But it just, that addiction has got some of us. And that's a mild one. Some have chemical abuse addiction. Some have relational dependencies. Some have situations in their lives that are just crushing them. And Jesus has come to set you free, but not just set you free, to make you free. And the ability to make some decisions today that are going to create boundaries in my life will also be assisted by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the helper. He's not the doer. You do the doing, He'll do the helping. And when you say, I'm going to make this decision, you see, God has given you a free will so that on judgment day, it's not like He's overriding us. He's given you the supreme power in your life to make decisions. If I arrived at the throne and God had been making all my decisions for me, how could He judge me? I'd say, well, You made me do it. The reason is He actually did give us the power to be sovereign in our lives, to make those choices. I'd like you to make that choice this morning and break the chain and be set free. Let's all stand as we come to a close. Father, here today, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this building to experience the beautiful freedom that Jesus came to give us, so that we're not slaves to any other thing other than the great values and godly pursuits You put in our lives. If you are struggling with some area in your life today that's like a habit, it started as just a small habit, but it's evolved into being a giant that just seems to oppress you. It's a trap, it's a snare you can't seem to get out of. Could you raise your hand right now? In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I pray that there would be healing and deliverance, freedom for every person standing before You today. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray that the blood of Christ would wash every heart clean. You've paid the price, Lord, to lay the axe to the root of the challenges that people find themselves in. You know, some of you may be dealing with other areas like discouragement or disillusionment with people, maybe Christians, maybe, and you've helped that to justify an attitude or something, or maybe you have experienced a violation in your life. I know today God is here to set you free, so that you don't have to walk as though that is going to be a handicap to your life, but you can be healthy and strong, renewed like a new person. So the old is passed away, it's buried, and you're set free and walking tall. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person like that. Just put your hand out to God if that's you. Lord, I pray that You would touch those lives here this morning. These lives matter so much to You. These hearts matter so much to You. Their worlds matter so much to You. And I thank You that right here, right now, by the love of God, the anointing breaks the yoke. In the name of Jesus, the people will walk from this building today feeling weightless, floating, like weights have been lifted from their soul, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just this last question I'd like to ask while we're all standing. Some of you might never have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. You might have been away from God and you need to come back, or you're just not sure you're going to heaven. Right now, while every eye is closed, if that's you, in a couple seconds, I'm also going to ask you to raise your hand. So if that's you right now, you've never prayed that prayer, Jesus, come into my life, or you're coming back to God, or making sure you're going to heaven. Right now, wherever you are, put your hand up high. Put it up high for me so I can see. Thank you. Who else is there? Just put it up high so I can see. Anybody else at all? Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there? Thank you. Who else is there? Just raise it. Because we're standing, I can't see everybody. Thank you. I see your hand right in front of me. Yeah, behind the sound box. Who else? I'll wait another couple seconds. Anybody else at all? Please raise your hand high. Say, Pastor, that's me. I really need to come to Christ. I need to come back to Jesus. I need to make sure I'm going to heaven. If there's one more hand, please raise it high right now. And we'll pray for you at the end of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you all to pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, I receive Jesus. I receive freedom. Thank you, God, for making me free and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Go ahead.
At C3, we love stories. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, email us at stories@myc3church.net. You can also download the C3 Church app to keep up to date on events, listen to our latest album, and give as part of our tithes and offerings. We hope you have been blessed by this message. Use the handle @C3 Oxford Falls to follow us on social media.